We welcome you to this General Relief Society meeting of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. I am Sister Julie B. Beck, Relief Society General President, and I am joined this evening by my counselors, Sister Sylvia H. Allred and Sister Barbara Thompson. This meeting is being broadcast in 78 languages to women living in over 175 different countries, nations, and territories. As a Relief Society presidency, we have personally met Relief Society sisters in Central and South America, the United States, and the islands of the South Pacific this year. We are pleased and honored that President Thomas S. Monson, President Henry B. Eyring, and President Dieter F. Uchtdorf for the first presidency are with us this evening. Elders Russell M. Nelson, Neil Anderson, of the 12 Apostles, and Elder Bruce C. Hafen of the 70, who serve as our advisors, are also here this evening, as well as the general presidencies of the Young Women and the Primary, and members of the Relief Society General Board. The music for this meeting will be provided by a choir comprised of Relief Society sisters from stakes in West Point, Clearfield, Clinton, Sunset, and Syracuse, Utah, under the direction of Kathy Jolly and accompanied at the organ by Bonnie Goodliffe. The choir and congregation will join to sing our opening hymn, "There is Sunshine in My Soul Today." And Sister Martha Johnson of the Relief Society General Board will offer the invocation.
Sunshine in my soul today, for glory. Our beloved Father in heaven, we are grateful to be gathered here as thy daughters. The world over, we are grateful to be gathered here with our prophet, thy prophet, this man whom thou hast given us to lead us and to guide us in these latter days. We are so grateful for the priesthood which thou hast extended to us and those men who carry it so well, so honorably, and exercise its ordinances on our behalf. We are grateful for the covenants, Father, which thou hast extended to us, which bind us to thee and show us the way to return to thee. Together we pray humbly, beseechingly, that we might receive of thy counsel here this evening, that our hearts will be open and our minds quickened, that we might be resolved to do those things that we can see in each of our lives that will help heaven to come to earth a little more fully, that we might move closer to thee, that we might make this world ready to receive the light and knowledge that thou hast for us. We are grateful to be thy daughters. We are grateful to be gathered. And we offer our hearts to thee and seek to do thy will. We thank thee for the freedoms that allow us to meet in such a way as this, and pray that these freedoms might be preserved the world over, that we might be able to choose to make covenants with thee and choose to keep them and choose to lift others and bring others to thee. We thank thee, Father, for the outpouring of thy Spirit that will be witnessed here this night. We pray for ears to hear and hearts that feel and beings that will be moved to live a little closer to thee. We seek a blessing upon those who will speak to us, those who will sing. They have prepared. Revelation has been received. They have sought thee humbly. We pray that we will receive thy message with humble hearts. We offer this prayer unto thee, thank thee for what we have, and do so in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Thank you, Sister Johnson. President Monson has asked that I be the first speaker this evening. At the conclusion of my remarks, the choir will sing as Sisters in Zion. Sister Sylvia H. Allred, First Counselor in the Relief Society General Presidency, will then speak to us, and she will be followed by Sister Barbara Thompson, Second Counselor in the Relief Society General Presidency. At the conclusion of Sister Thompson's remarks, the choir and congregation will sing How Firm a Foundation. This is a beautiful gathering of Relief Society women. Since our last general meeting, I have been blessed to visit many of you. Thank you for your faithful lives and dedicated service. In recent General Relief Society meetings, we have been taught how strong and immovable Latter-day Saint women know and fulfill the purpose of Relief Society. Tonight, I hope to enlarge our testimony and understanding of Relief Society as a faith-based work. I will speak of the purpose of this work and the way we accomplish it. We know that the purpose of Relief Society, as established by the Lord, is to prepare women for the blessings of eternal life, by helping them increase their faith and personal righteousness, strengthen their families and homes, and serve the Lord and His children. The history, purpose, and work of Relief Society are unique among all women's organizations. In 1942, for the centennial of the Relief Society, the first presidency of the church said, "No other women's organization in all the earth has had such a birth. Members of Relief Society should permit neither hostile nor competitive interests of any kind to detract from the duties and obligations, the privileges and honors, the opportunities and achievements of membership in this great society." Close quote. If our membership in Relief Society is so important, we need to know what sets us apart from every other women's group or organization. Everything we do in Relief Society matters because Heavenly Father and His Son Jesus Christ visited Joseph Smith, and through him, the fullness of the gospel of Jesus Christ was restored to the earth. Relief Society was part of that restoration. The prophet Joseph Smith defined the purpose of Relief Society and instructed the sisters in their purpose, just as he taught priesthood leaders in Kirtland and Nauvoo their priesthood purpose and work. Ours is an organization that continues to be led today by prophets, seers, and revelators. Relief Society is unique because it was organized after the pattern of the priesthood, and we operate on a general and local level under the direction of priesthood leaders. We work in partnership with priesthood leaders who hold keys, which give them authority to preside in the name of the Lord. We operate in the manner of the priesthood, which means that we seek, receive, and act on revelation, make decisions in councils, and concern ourselves with caring for individuals one by one. Ours is the priesthood purpose to prepare ourselves for the blessings of eternal life by making and keeping covenants. Therefore, like our brethren who hold the priesthood, ours is a work of salvation, service, and becoming a holy people. President Boyd K. Packer has taught that, quote, the Relief Society has very broad responsibilities. Attendance at the Sunday meeting is but a small part of your duty. Some of you have not understood this and have set aside much of what Relief Society has meant over the years, the sisterhood, the charitable and practical parts of it. He explained, the Relief Society, the Prophet Joseph told us, is organized after the pattern of the priesthood. When a man holds the priesthood, it requires his full dedication and loyalty. Membership in the priesthood magnifies the man and the boy. Wherever he is, whatever he does, no matter with whom he associates, he is expected to honor his priesthood. If you sisters follow after that pattern, you will serve your organization, your cause, the Relief Society. Service in the Relief Society magnifies and sanctifies each sister. Your membership in Relief Society should ever be with you, close quote. When our purpose is clear, it naturally follows that there is an appropriate way to carry out our responsibilities. Let us review how the faith-based work of Relief Society is to be administered. One of the most precious commodities we all have is time. Most women have many responsibilities and never have sufficient time to do everything their hearts and minds want to do. We show respect for the Lord and the sisters when we use Relief Society time in an inspired way. President Dieter F. Uchtdorf taught, a wise man once distinguished between the noble art of getting things done and the nobler art of leaving things undone. True wisdom in life, he taught, consists of the elimination of non-essentials. President Uchtdorf then asked, what are the non-essential things that clutter your days and steal your time? What are the habits you may have developed that do not serve a useful purpose? What are the unfinished or unstarted things that could add vigor, meaning, and joy to your life? We can apply his questions to all Relief Society meetings and work. We hold the weekly meeting of our society on Sundays as part of our regular 3-hour block of meetings. It is amazing to contemplate that every Sunday, all around the world, thousands of groups of sisters are gathering to increase their faith, strengthen their families, and coordinate their efforts to provide relief. Our Sunday meetings are only 50 minutes in length, so we begin those meetings by taking care of essential business that will help us be more unified and effective in our Relief Society work. We keep our business brief, dignified, organized, and in keeping with who we are and what we are to do. Just as the sisters of the first Relief Society meetings received instruction from prophets and apostles, we study the words of church leaders today. What a blessing it is to have correlated resources that teach doctrine and principles to help us live the gospel in our personal lives and homes. Because this is a faith-based work, Relief Society lessons are most effective when inspired teaching takes place. And she that preacheth and she that receiveth understand one another, and both are edified and rejoice together. All of our meetings and activities are meetings of Relief Society sisters. For the past number of years, we have called additional Relief Society meetings home, family, and personal enrichment meetings. In response to concerns about the complexity of that title and the different interpretations about the purpose of those meetings, a decision has been made that the name Home, Family, and Personal Enrichment will be discontinued now. In council with the First Presidency and the Quorum of the 12 Apostles, it was determined that rather than give these additional Relief Society meetings a new title, all such meetings and activities will now be referred to simply as Relief Society meetings. Individual Relief Society meetings that are held during the week can be called whatever they are. Relief Society service, classes, projects, conferences, or workshops. These additional meetings can be valuable supplements to Sunday instruction, especially for sisters who serve in primary or young women or who are unable to attend Sunday meetings. These meetings also provide a wonderful place to bring our friends of other faiths and to include Relief Society sisters who do not actively participate in the church. All Relief Society members and their friends are invited and welcome. However, sisters should not feel obligated to attend every additional meeting. Under the direction of the bishop, the Ward Relief Society presidency can use these meetings to address spiritual and temporal needs of individuals and families in the ward and to strengthen sisterhood and unity. When sisters meet for Relief Society meetings during the week, they have the opportunity to learn and accomplish the charitable and practical responsibilities of the Relief Society. This is where they learn and practice skills that will help them increase their faith and personal righteousness, strengthen families and homes, and provide service to those in need. These meetings are meant to be instrumental in teaching the skills and responsibilities of womanhood and motherhood in the Lord's plan. It is here that women learn and apply principles of provident living and spiritual and temporal self-reliance. And they also increase in sisterhood and unity as they teach one another and serve together. The Ward Relief Society president oversees all Relief Society meetings. As part of this responsibility, she counsels regularly with the bishop regarding how these meetings can help meet the needs of individuals and families in the ward. The Relief Society presidency prayerfully considers how often they should hold Relief Society meetings during the week and where they should hold them. They then make a recommendation to the bishop, taking into consideration the time commitments of sisters, family circumstances, travel distance and cost, financial cost to the ward, safety, and other local circumstances. These meetings are usually held at a time other than on Sunday or on Monday evening. They are generally held monthly, but the Relief Society presidency may recommend that the meetings be held more often or less frequently. Efforts should be made to meet at least quarterly. At least one member of the Relief Society presidency should be in attendance at every meeting. Relief Society leaders prayerfully counsel together about the topics that will strengthen sisters and their families and about the best ways to teach those topics. The Relief Society president ensures that these plans are approved by the bishop. She also ensures that the plans are consistent with current policies about activities, including policies about finances. Although the Relief Society president oversees these meetings, she may ask a counselor or another sister in the ward to serve as the coordinator who helps the presidency plan and carry them out. Meetings can focus on one topic or be divided into more than one class or activity. Generally, teachers at these meetings should be members of the ward or stake. Each year, one meeting may commemorate the founding of Relief Society and focus on its history and purposes. In planning Relief Society meetings held during the week, leaders give priority to topics that will fulfill Relief Society purposes, such as marriage and family, homemaking, provident living and self-reliance, compassionate service, temple and family history, sharing the gospel, and other subjects requested by the bishop. When we plan, we ask what the Lord needs us to learn and become in order to be prepared for eternal life. In the wisdom of the Lord, every ward has its own unique characteristics which no other ward shares. This can be compared to the DNA that identifies every human being as unique. Every bishop has the responsibility for his specific ward. Each Ward Relief Society president has the calling to assist one bishop. Each bishop and Relief Society presidency have had hands laid on their heads to receive inspiration for their particular responsibilities and not for any other ward or group of Relief Society sisters. If we work with this understanding, we will seek revelation and work in companionship with a bishop to fulfill the purposes of Relief Society in our own wards. As a result of operating in this way, if sisters and families need to be prepared for emergencies, the Relief Society can organize, teach, and inspire that preparation. If sisters and families need to prepare for the temple, the Relief Society can organize, teach, and inspire sisters to do that. If a bishop needs young single adult women to share the gospel and bring their friends back into activity, the Relief Society can organize, teach, and inspire that work. If mothers need to learn how to nurture and care for their children, the Relief Society can organize, teach, and inspire that work. If sisters need to learn and improve homemaking skills that will help their homes become a center of spiritual strength, then the Relief Society can organize, teach, and inspire that work. As has happened throughout our history, if priesthood leaders need to accomplish something significant, they can call upon the Relief Society to help them. Using Relief Society meetings appropriately will increase the ability of the Relief Society to work in powerful ways with priesthood leaders in every ward. As Joseph Smith said in the Doctrine and Covenants, "Let no man count them as small things, for there is much which lieth in futurity pertaining to the saints which depends upon these things. You know, sisters, that a very large ship is benefited very much by a very small helm in the time of a storm by being kept workways with the wind and the waves." Relief Society and priesthood leaders, this message will serve as your current official policy regarding additional Relief Society meetings. Should you have questions regarding anything we have taught here after studying this message, please counsel together in your own wards and stakes to discover the solutions you need. Much of the essential Relief Society work we do doesn't happen in meetings. Let's focus now on learning about visiting teaching. Because we follow the example and teachings of Jesus Christ, we value this official calling to love, know, serve, understand, teach, and minister in His behalf. This is one duty we have in the church where we are certain to have the help of the Lord if we ask for it. This is one calling that is certain to increase our faith and personal righteousness and strengthen our own homes and families as we become partners with the Lord. A sister in this church has no other responsibility outside of her family that has the potential to do as much good as does visiting teaching. Because this is the Lord's program of individual watch care for His daughters, the policies regarding visiting teaching are approved by the First Presidency, as outlined in the Church Handbook of Instructions. Because visiting teaching focuses on individual sisters, Relief Society leaders do not organize women into groups for the purpose of visiting teaching. The bishop, who is the ordained shepherd of the ward, cannot possibly watch over all of the Lord's sheep at one time. He is dependent on inspired visiting teachers to help him. We know we should each choose to be a friend to everyone in our ward, but the bishop and Relief Society president have the responsibility to receive revelation as to who should be assigned to watch over and strengthen each individual sister. Ideally, every sister should watch over and strengthen at least one other sister in her ward. It is our blessing to have a calling to pray for another sister morning and night and receive inspiration as to how the Lord would have us care for one of His daughters. Visiting teaching becomes a faith-based work. when our focus is on people rather than percentages. In reality, visiting teaching is never finished. It is more a way of life than a task. Faithfully serving as a visiting teacher is evidence of our discipleship. We demonstrate our faith and follow a pattern established by the Lord as we report on our assignment every month. If our watch care were primarily about reporting that every sister in the ward heard the visiting teaching message printed each month in the Ensign in Liahona, it would be much more efficient to read it aloud to everyone in a sacrament meeting. Our reports are most helpful to the Bishop and Relief Society President when we inform them of the spiritual and temporal well-being of sisters and how we have been able to serve and love them. How grateful I am for all of my visiting teachers who over the years have demonstrated their faith as they have served, taught, strengthened, and loved me in inspired ways. Our compassionate service and assistance with welfare needs of individuals and families is an outgrowth of visiting teaching. As a Relief Society president learns of the needs of people in her ward through visiting teachers and her own visits to ward members, sometimes she learns she organizes us to help others, and at other times we serve according to our natures, following the promptings of the Holy Ghost. Many years ago, I learned from Sister Camilla Kimball, wife of President Spencer W. Kimball, to never suppress a generous thought. By following her counsel, we can know with certainty that our Father in heaven knows us personally because he sends us to be his hands and heart to those in need. As we do so, our faith in him is strengthened. We live in a happy and exciting time of growth in the history of the church, and Relief Society is part of making that history. Joseph Smith said, "Let every man, woman, and child realize the importance of the work and act as if success depended on his individual exertion alone. Let all feel an interest in it, and then consider they live in a day, the contemplation of which animated the bosoms of kings, prophets, and righteous men thousands of years ago, the prospect of which inspired their sweetest notes and most exalted lays and caused them to break out in such rapturous strains as are recorded in the scriptures. I rejoice to know that the Lord loves us enough to guide us in this work through prophets, seers, and revelators, and that we belong to a church that operates with continuing revelation. I feel a certainty that as each sister does her part to ensure that the purposes of Relief Society are fulfilled, angels will be our associates, and we will be participants in amazing miracles. We celebrate and give thanks for the essential, faith-based work we have been given. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen."
Together. What a joy it is to be assembled together across the world as sisters in Zion. I am grateful for this opportunity to share with you my testimony of the Savior and express my love for you. I will speak today about why every woman needs Relief Society in her life. Soon after the Prophet Joseph Smith organized and established the church, he also organized the Women's Relief Society. He said, "The church was never perfectly organized until the women were thus organized." The Relief Society is an essential part of the church, and as a presidency, we hope we can help you understand why it is essential in your life. The deepest desire of our presidency is to help each woman in the church prepare to receive the blessings of the temple, honor the covenants she makes, and to be engaged in the cause of Zion. The Relief Society inspires and teaches women to help them increase their faith and personal righteousness, strengthen families, and seek out and help those in need. Speaking of our day, President Spencer W. Kimball said, quote, "Much of the major growth that is coming to the church in the last days will come because many of the good women of the world will be drawn to the church in large numbers. This will happen to the degree that the women of the church reflect righteousness and articulateness in their lives and to the degree that the women of the church are seen as distinct and different in happy ways from the women of the world. Among the real heroines in the world who will come into the church are women who are more concerned with being righteous than with being selfish. These real heroines have true humility, which places a higher value on integrity than on visibility. Thus, it will be that female exemplars of the church will be a significant force in both the numerical and the spiritual growth of the church in the last days." End of quote. I believe that these prophetic words are being fulfilled. The good women of the world are embracing the gospel of Jesus Christ in large numbers across the nations. You are the real heroines he was talking about. We have met you by the thousands as we travel the world. We have seen your good works. We have heard your heartfelt testimonies. We have felt your spirits. We have seen the light of the gospel reflected in your faces. Your example and influence for good is both extraordinary and remarkable. But we are also aware of the many women in the church who are not fully enjoying the blessings of activity in the church and in Relief Society. To those of you who already attend Relief Society, we extend a call. We ask you to go to the women who are not engaged in Relief Society work in your wards and branches to teach them with love what Relief Society will do for them. Testify to them that Relief Society will enrich their homes and personal lives. Offer your friendship and sisterhood. Watch over and strengthen them. Help us reverse society's trend of disintegrating families. Help your sisters turn to the Lord and His plan of happiness for His children. They will find guidance, comfort, peace, understanding, and inspiration. They will know Heavenly Father loves them and cares for them in ways beyond measure. What does the Relief Society do for the women who accept the gift of activity in the organization? How does Relief Society bless families and homes? My mother was a recent convert to the church when she was called to be the Relief Society president in our small branch in San Salvador. She told the branch president that she was inexperienced, unprepared, and inadequate. She was in her 30s, had very little formal education, and her whole life had been devoted to the care of her husband and 7 children. But the branch president called her anyway. I watched my mother rise to the occasion. While serving, she learned leadership skills, and develop new gifts such as teaching, public speaking, and planning and organizing meetings, activities, and service projects. She influenced the women in the branch. She served them and taught them to serve one another. The sisters loved and respected her. She helped other women to discover, use, and develop gifts and talents. She helped them become builders of the kingdom and of strong spiritual families. She stayed faithful to the temple covenants she made. When she passed away, she was at peace with her Maker. A sister who served with her as a counselor in the Relief Society wrote me a letter years later. Quote, "Your mother was the person who taught me the way to become what I am now. From her, I learned charity, kindness, honesty, and responsibility in our callings. She was my mentor and my example. I am now 80 years old, but I have stayed faithful to the Savior and His gospel. I have served the mission, and the Lord has blessed me greatly." End of quote. I have witnessed the same miracle in the lives of many women in different parts of the world. They embrace the gospel, and Relief Society helps them strengthen their faith and grow spiritually by giving them leadership and teaching opportunities. In their service, a new dimension is added to their lives. As they progress spiritually, their sense of belonging, identity, and self-worth increases. They realize that the whole intent of the gospel plan is to provide an opportunity for us to reach our fullest potential. With the work of Relief Society sisters, we help build up the kingdom and strengthen the homes of Zion. No other organization in the church can do the service Relief Society does. Thousands of families are recipients of the service provided by loving visiting teachers who extend a comforting hand, a listening ear, an encouraging word. My daughter Norma says the following about the way Relief Society has been a blessing in her life. Quote, "When Darren and I were newly married and expecting our first baby, we were living in a small college town. We were both full-time students with very little income. Our nearest ward was in a town about 30 miles away, and our only means of transportation was an old car that didn't work most of the time. When the sisters in the ward discovered our circumstances, they immediately joined together to arrange for one of them to always give us a ride to and from church on Sundays and for other church activities. Some of the sisters lived in other towns and drove 20 or 30 miles out of their way just to pick us up. Additionally, many of the sisters would invite us to their homes for nice family dinners after church. No one ever made us feel like a burden to them. I will never forget the true love and charity that the Relief Society sisters extended to us during that short but challenging time in our lives." End of quote. My husband is a bishop, and he says he could never do his work without the help of the Relief Society president. The Relief Society presidents throughout the world work hand in hand with their bishops and branch presidents to organize the sisters in the sacred charge of seeking out and helping those in need. Those devoted Relief Society presidents need your support and willing hands. Your attendance at Relief Society Sunday meetings will bless you, but your participation in the work of Relief Society will bless the whole church. Whether you are young or old, single or married, widow or living in a family, we want you to bless your life and home with the influence and power of Relief Society. There is a great need to rally the women of the church to move the work forward. We invite you to minister with your powerful influence for good in strengthening our families, our church, and our communities. You are a much-needed force for love, truth, and righteousness in this world. We need you to nurture families, friends, and neighbors. It is through you that God's perfect love for each and all of His children is made manifest. Our presidency often receives letters from sisters whose lives have been blessed through Relief Society. Many of them list what Relief Society has done for them and their families. The list might sound something like this. Relief Society reassures me that Heavenly Father loves me because I am His daughter. It reminds me that Heavenly Father has blessed me with talents and gifts. I learned that temple covenants are essential for me and my family. I learned to find joy in motherhood. Relief Society lessons and activities help me learn the skills needed to be a good mother. I recognize my responsibility to influence the rising generation for good. Relief Society helps me be a better wife, to honor and respect my husband. I am encouraged to seek learning and personal growth. I learn and practice basic principles of self-reliance in meetings and activities. I experience the joy in service through visiting, teaching, and compassionate service. I discovered gifts that I didn't know I had. Relief Society provides me opportunities to use my talents. I learn that I can lift and encourage others. I learned that we all have something to share: love, kindness, smiles, sympathy, and more. I develop genuine concern for others. I learned to be a better neighbor and treat others with kindness. I learned resourcefulness and determination of purpose. I know that all of my Father's blessings will be mine if I stay faithful and true to my covenants. The list goes on, and I am sure that most of you have something you would like to add to this list. Relief Society is vital to the welfare of every home and family. Every husband and father should encourage activity in Relief Society. Every woman should come and learn the opportunities Relief Society has to offer. Every righteous woman has a significant role to play in God's plan and the building up of His kingdom. Relief Society needs you, and you need Relief Society. I testify to you that Relief Society was divinely organized to assist the priesthood and the work of salvation. I know Heavenly Father lives. He knows and loves you and me. Jesus is the Christ, our Savior and Redeemer. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
Several years ago, I visited some dear friends in London, England. During this visit, I traveled on the Tube, a subway system of underground trains that people use frequently to get from place to place. In each of these busy subway stations, there are warning signs about dangers that people may encounter. Lights flash on and off to notify people that a train is approaching and they need to stand back. There is also a sign to remind people that there is danger, a gap between the train and this station platform. The sign says, "Mind the gap." This reminds people not to let their foot get caught in the gap or not to drop anything in the gap because it will go under the train and be lost. The caution sign is needed and warns people of a very real danger. In order to be safe, people must mind the gap. Many of us have gaps in our own lives. Sometimes it is the difference between what we know and what we actually do, or the gap between our goals and what we actually accomplish. These gaps can be reminders of ways in which we can improve, or if ignored, can be stumbling blocks in our lives. I want to mention a few gaps I see in either my own life or in the lives of others. The ones I will address tonight are the following. First, the gap between believing you are a daughter of God and knowing in your heart and soul that you are a precious, beloved daughter of God. Second, the gap between completion of the Young Women Program and becoming a fully participating member of Relief Society, the Lord's organization for women. Third, The gap between believing in Jesus Christ and being valiant in the testimony of Jesus Christ. Number one, the gap between believing and knowing that you are a precious, beloved daughter of God. Most of us who have been in the church, even for just a few months, have sung the song, "I am a child of God." I have sung this song since I was a young child, and I've always believed it. Even though most of us believe this, it seems that at times of hardship or difficulty, we have a tendency to doubt or forget this. Some have said such things as, "If God really loved me, he would not let this illness come upon my child. If God loved me, he would help me find a worthy husband I could be married and sealed to in the Holy Temple. If God loved me, we would have enough money to buy a house for our family. Or, I have sinned, and so God couldn't possibly love me anymore." Unfortunately, we hear these types of statements all too often. You need to know that there is nothing that can separate you from the love of Christ. The scriptures clearly tell us that no tribulation, distress, persecution, power, or any other creature can separate us from the love of God. Our Heavenly Father loved us so much that he sent his only begotten Son to atone for our sins. The Savior not only suffered for every sin, but he felt every pain, sorrow, discomfort, loneliness, or sadness that any of us could ever experience. Is this not great love? President Henry B. Eyring has said, "It is the Holy Ghost that testifies of the reality of God and allows us to feel the joy of his love." We need to accept his love, love ourselves, and love others. Remember that every soul on this earth is also a child of God. We must treat each other with the love and kindness befitting a child of God. Most of you work very hard to perform your duty, to keep the commandments and obey the Lord. You need to be able to recognize the Lord's approval. You need to know that the Lord is well pleased and has accepted your offering. Remember to mind this gap and not let doubt and uncertainty enter into your minds. Be assured that God loves you dearly and you are his precious child. Next, the gap between completion of the Young Women Program and becoming a fully participating member of Relief Society, the Lord's Organization for Women. In many countries, age 18 is when a girl becomes a woman. For many, this is an exciting time when we feel that we are adults and ready to take on the world and conquer it. For young women in the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, this is also a time when we complete many of our personal progress goals, come into Relief Society, and accept callings of service in the church. Our testimonies have been strengthened in young women, and we have mapped out a set of goals that will lead us to temple marriage and eternal families of our own. Unfortunately, some of our younger sisters are taking a leave of absence from full participation in the gospel and in Relief Society. Some have the attitude that, "I will pick up with Relief Society when I get married, or when I am older, or when I am not so busy." When I left high school, my goals were to attend college for at least a couple of years, get married to a handsome man, have four perfect, beautiful children, two boys and two girls. My husband was to have a large income so I wouldn't need to work, and then I planned to do church and community service. Thankfully, one of my goals was to be an active and faithful member of the church. Well, as you may know, many of my goals were not realized in the way I had hoped. I finished college, served a mission, got a job, continued on with my schooling to earn a master's degree, and continued working in my profession for many years. I thought, sure, marriage was going to happen 13 years ago when I opened a fortune cookie and read, "You will be married in less than a year." But there was no handsome man, no marriage, no children. Nothing had gone as I had planned except for one thing. I tried to be an active and faithful member of the church. For this I am most grateful. It has made all the difference in my life. I had the opportunity to serve many years in Young Women and felt that gave me an opportunity to teach and testify to younger women who were developing their testimonies and seeking to progress in God's appointed way. I also had the opportunity to serve in Relief Society callings, which helped me to learn to serve others and increase my faith, and gave me a great feeling of belonging. Even though I wasn't married and had no children, I felt my life had meaning. There were times of discouragement, and at times I questioned the plan. One work colleague who was not a member of our church said to me, "Why do you continue to go to a church that puts so much emphasis on marriage and families?" My simple answer to her was, "Because it is true. I can be just as single and just as childless outside of the church, but with the church and the gospel of Jesus Christ in my life, I found happiness and I knew I was on the path the Savior would have me follow. I found joy and many opportunities to serve, to love, and to grow." Remember, it's not just what you can get out of active participation in Relief Society, but what you can give and contribute as well. My dear sisters, especially you younger single adults, I testify to you that God loves you. He is mindful of you. He has a plan for you. He needs you to serve His children. He needs you to be active and faithful and fully participating women in His church. He needs you to comfort the weary and strengthen the weak. Sister Eliza R. Snow, Second Relief Society General President, spoke to a large group of sisters, both teenage and adult women, gathered in Ogden, Utah in 1873. She gave the following counsel that was timely then and is still appropriate today. Speaking to the younger women, she said, "If you associate yourselves together," meaning older and younger women, "your minds are improved, you are gaining intelligence, and you are retrenching from ignorance. The Spirit of God will impart instruction to your minds, and you will impart it to each other. I say, God bless you, my young sisters. Remember that you are saints of God and that you have important works to perform in Zion." She further counseled all women. Paul, the apostle, agently spoke of holy women. "It is the duty of each one of us to be a holy woman. We shall have elevated aims if we are holy women. We shall feel that we are called to perform important duties. No one is exempt from them. There is no sister so isolated and her sphere so narrow, but what she can do a great deal towards establishing the kingdom of God upon the earth. Please mind this gap, and don't let a gap of inactivity come into your life in any manner. You need the church, and the church needs you. And finally, the gap between believing in Jesus Christ and being valiant in the testimony of Jesus Christ. Many people believe in Jesus Christ, that he was born of Mary in humble circumstances in Bethlehem many years ago. Most believe that he grew to be a great teacher, a kind and noble soul. Some believe that he gave us a set of valued principles and commandments, and that if we followed those teachings and kept those commandments, we would be blessed. However, for us as Latter-day Saints, we know that we must do more than believe in Christ. We must have faith in him, repent of our sins, be baptized in his name, and receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, and then we must endure faithfully to the end. We must share our testimonies with others. We must faithfully keep the covenants we have made with God. We know that all things will be revealed and given to those who have endured valiantly for the gospel of Jesus Christ. When we are converted, there is a natural tendency for us to share the gospel with those we love. Lehi was converted and wanted his family to partake of the goodness of the gospel. Nephi talked of Christ, rejoiced in Christ, and preached of Christ so his children would know the source of the remission of their sins, or in other words, where they would find peace and joy. When Enos was converted and received a remission of his sins, he was concerned for the welfare of his brethren. He wanted them to receive the blessings he had received. Throughout the scriptures, we read of men and women who became converted and then desired to strengthen their brothers and sisters. Let your voice be heard among the faithful as you valiantly declare that he lives, that his church has been restored, and that the plan of happiness is available to all. As we mind these gaps by paying careful attention and removing ourselves from danger, we will begin to realize the fullness of the blessings of the gospel of Jesus Christ in our lives. My dear sisters, I love you. I know the Savior lives. I know he loves each one of us. I know this is his true church. Of this I testify in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Sisters, we recognize that there are many demands for your time, and we are truly grateful to you for your attendance at this meeting. We express gratitude to Relief Society sisters and leaders who devote their lives and faith to this great work. We thank the choir for their participation and recognize the many who have had a part in bringing this meeting to fruition. We will now be honored to hear from President Henry B. Eyring, first counselor in the First Presidency. Following President Eyring's remarks, the choir will sing our closing hymn, "Guide Us, O Thou Great Jehovah." Sister Carol M. Stevens of the Relief Society General Board will then offer the benediction. President Eyring.
I am grateful to be with you tonight. I express to you the love and gratitude of President Monson and President Uchtdorf. From its founding in 1842, the Relief Society has been blessed by the careful and loving oversight of the Prophet of God. At the start in Nauvoo, Joseph Smith instructed the leaders and the assembled members. Knowing that you have a glorious history, I felt the weight of this invitation from President Monson to speak to you. In one of those early meetings of the Society, the Prophet Joseph Smith surprised Bishop Whitney by asking him to speak in his place. Bishop Whitney began by saying that he had arrived in happy anticipation of being taught by the Prophet. I understand his feelings of disappointment, and perhaps of yours. And so I asked President Monson, as I was preparing for this hour, what he felt would be most helpful for you to hear. What he said confirmed the impressions which had already come as I studied and prayed. So I will speak to you tonight of the great legacy those who went before you in the Relief Society have passed on to you. The part of the foundation they laid for you, which seems to me most important and persistent, is that charity is at the heart of the society and was to come into the heart to be part of the very nature of every member. Charity meant to them far more than a feeling of benevolence. Charity is born of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and is an effect of his atonement working in the hearts of the members. There are many benevolent groups of women who do great good. There are many who have overpowering feelings of sympathy for the unfortunate, the sick, and the needy. But this organization is unique and has been from its start. In the foundation they created, those great sisters set "charity never faileth" at the center. It served them at the beginning. It served them in the great period that followed. It serves them now in a new time. And it will serve the Relief Society in all the periods ahead. The society is composed of women whose feelings of charity spring from hearts changed by qualifying for and by keeping covenants offered only in the Lord's true church. Their feelings of charity come from Him through His atonement. Their acts of charity are guided by His example and come out of gratitude for His infinite gift of mercy and by the Holy Spirit, which He sends to accompany His servants on their missions of mercy. Because of that, they have done and are able to do uncommon things for others and to find joy even when their own unmet needs are great. The history of the Relief Society is filled with accounts of such remarkable selfless service. In the terrible days of persecution and deprivation, as the faithful moved from Ohio to Missouri to Illinois and then across the deserts going west. The sisters, in their poverty and sorrows, cared for others. You would weep, as I did, if I now read to you some of the accounts in your history. You would be touched by their generosity, but even more, by your recognition of the faith which lifted and sustained them. They came from a great diversity of circumstances. All faced the universal trials and heartaches of life. Their determination, born of faith to serve the Lord and others, seemed to take them not around the storms of life, but directly into them. Some were young and some old. They were from many lands and peoples, as you are today. But they were of one heart, one mind, and with one intention. They were determined to help the Lord build his Zion, where there could be the happy existence the Book of Mormon had described so vividly for them. You remember some of the scenes from 4th Nephi, which they carried in their hearts wherever the Lord led them on the journey to Zion. Quote, "And it came to pass in the 36th year, the people were all converted unto the Lord upon all the face of the land, both Nephites and Lamanites, and there were no contentions and disputations among them. And every man did deal justly one with another. And they had all things common among them. Therefore, there were not rich and poor, bond and free. But they were all made free and partakers of the heavenly gift. And it came to pass that there was no contention in the land because of the love of God, which did dwell in the hearts of the people." The early members of Relief Society did not enter such an idyllic time, but the love of God dwelt in their hearts. So it and they endured during the journey west and in the years that followed. Because of hard circumstances, for nearly four decades, the Relief Society ceased to function as a church-wide organization. But in 1866, Brigham Young called Eliza R. Snow to assist bishops in organizing relief societies. She was called as the second general president of the Relief Society in 1880. The record of Relief Society shows that when the leaders approached the sisters across the church to begin again formal Relief Society work, they found that charity in the hearts was undiminished. They had continued to reach out in mercy to those in need. For those who stayed faithful to their covenants, the gift of charity, the pure love of Christ, had endured. It was still theirs. In the years that followed, the Relief Society grew in numbers and in power to serve those in need. Under the leadership of women of great vision and capacity, the Relief Society took the lead in starting charitable services which did not exist on the frontier for those in need. They created a small hospital. They supported women in going to the East to get medical training to staff it. That was the beginning of one of the great hospital systems in the United States. They began programs which became, over the years, the worldwide church's social services programs. They created a grain storage system so effective that they could respond to a request for help from the federal government in a time of war and crisis. They began what became the primary and what became the organization for young women in the church. They created their own magazine for women. They became one of the largest organizations for women in the world. They were also in the leadership of organizations for women in the United States. The Relief Society was at the heart of the beginning of the church's power to give humanitarian aid across the world. Leaders of nations now, when they visit Utah, express awe and admiration for what the church is doing for the poor and the victims of war and natural disaster across the world. those remarkable gifts to the children of God are part of the enduring legacy of Relief Society. The prophet Joseph Smith told the Relief Society in their first meetings that such remarkable things would come from their faithful service. He said that queens would come to learn from and be part of their service. I have seen that prophecy fulfilled. And I can discern from the records that a scriptural promise to those who serve the Lord in his work were also granted to those Relief Society pioneers. That promise, given through the prophet Joseph Smith, is recorded in the 88th section of the Doctrine and Covenants. It speaks of those who will be called to serve with him in successive seasons. Quote, "And he said unto the first, Go ye and labor in the field, and in the first hour I will come unto you, and ye shall behold the joy of my countenance. And he said unto the second, Go ye also into the field, and in the second hour I will visit you with the joy of my countenance. And also unto the third, saying, I will visit you, and unto the fourth, and so on unto the twelfth. And the Lord of the field went unto the first in the first hour, and tarried with him all that hour. And he was made glad with the light of the countenance of his Lord." It is clear from the record they left that those women of the first period of the Relief Society felt the joy the Lord promised. He was in the work with them. He prospered it, and they felt joy and light. But the prophet Joseph foresaw that another season would follow. He saw the grand works they would build in the first season, but he also said that they were to serve, bless, and care for those close to them, known personally by them. After a joyful time of building, the Lord led them into another season, away from the fields they had planted so magnificently. It was hard for the faithful men who inherited, for instance, the hospital system they had expanded on the foundation the Relief Society had built. The Lord, through his prophets, made clear that his priesthood servants could hand the trust of maintaining and building that powerful instrument for good to others. And so the church gave away its marvelous hospital system. I know and admire the men who had felt the joy of service in that hospital system, and I saw their recognition that the joy had come from being at work with the Lord, not from their own accomplishments. So they smiled and gave away gladly what they had built. They had faith that the Lord saw a greater need for their service elsewhere, in other fields, in another season. A precious part of your Relief Society heritage is that same faith was in the hearts of the leaders and the members of the Relief Society. The Lord had known where their great talents would be needed in the next season, and where they would find an even greater joy than in the wonderful benevolent enterprises they had begun and built. The church grew larger and reached across the world. The services they had created began to require massive resources and constant oversight. In an expanding church and a world with increasing turmoil, running large and centralized programs would have lessened the opportunity of Relief Society leaders and members to feel the joy of serving individuals for and with the Lord. For a new season, the Lord had their opportunity already in place. The only system which could provide succor and comfort across a church so large in a world so varied would be through individual servants near the people in need. The Lord had seen that coming from the beginning of Relief Society. He set a pattern in place. Two Relief Society sisters accept their assignment to visit another as a call from the Lord. That was true from the start. Relief Society officers organized members who they knew had faith to give compassionate service when it was beyond the power of two assigned visiting teachers. It was always close to home, among acquaintances. Members teach the gospel in local meetings and bear testimony of the Savior and of the restoration. Daughters watch over mothers. Mothers listen to and teach and care for daughters. The members of Relief Society have always been trusted by local priesthood shepherds. Every bishop and every branch president has a Relief Society president to depend upon. She has visiting teachers who know the trials and the needs of every sister. She can, through them, know the hearts of individuals and families. She can meet needs and help the bishop in his call to nurture individuals and families. A wonderful part of the heritage of Relief Society is evident in the way the priesthood has always shown respect and received it from the Relief Society in turn. I have seen it as you have. Our bishop said to me years ago with a smile, "Why is it that when I go to someone in the ward in need, your wife always seems to have been there ahead of me?" Every bishop and branch resident with any experience at all has felt the gentle prod of inspired example from the sisters of the Relief Society. They help us remember that for all, both women and men, there will be no salvation without compassionate service. You who are older, remember President Marion G. Romney quoting this scripture. If I remember, he did it with a chuckle when he said he was as determined as are the sisters to be faithful in providing that compassionate service. He quoted Mosiah, quote, "And now for the sake of these things which I have spoken unto you," that is, for the sake of retaining a remission of your sins from day to day, "that ye may walk guiltless before God, I would that ye should impart of your substance to the poor, every man according to that which he hath, such as feeding the hungry, clothing the naked, visiting the sick, and administering to their relief, both spiritually and temporally, according to their wants." The reason President Romney smiled, if I remember when he did it, was he said he did really want to have his sins remitted. And so he thought he would join the sisters in every act of compassionate service he could. Now it's time to talk about what you must do to pass this marvelous and sacred legacy of Relief Society onto those who will follow you. It will take small and simple things. Just remember that the legacy is passed from heart to heart. Charity, the pure love of Christ, is part of the mighty change of heart which the Lord promises to his faithful disciples. So it is not hard to see what simple things you can and must do to pass the legacy along. For instance, each time you and your companion prepare to go visiting teaching, you just need to remember what success will be. It will be more than getting in the door. It will be more than giving a message. It will be more than asking how you can help. Success will come perhaps only after many visits, and you may not in this world see evidence that you have succeeded. But you can feel by the Spirit if you are on the way. I talked with a Relief Society member about a visit she made. It was to a woman who would soon lose her husband suddenly and tragically. It was the bishop who had suggested that she ought to make the visit. In recent years, the woman had only intermittent contact with Relief Society. The visitor prepared by stopping at a shop to buy flowers. It was a season where the tulips were stacked for sale in many colors. She chose one color, her favorite, but then felt impressed to try another. She didn't know why she selected yellow, but she did. When she presented the yellow tulips at the door, the woman smiled and said, "Come see my backyard garden." It was filled with yellow tulips in full bloom. The woman said, "I was just wondering if I should cut some for the house, but now I can leave them and enjoy them a little longer in my garden because you brought me these." They chatted pleasantly as if they were old friends. From that impression to bring some flowers and to choose yellow tulips, that visiting teacher had evidence that she was on the Lord's errand. When she told me, I could hear the joy in her voice. When she spoke with me, she didn't know what the widow felt after the visit. But if it were that God loved her and that he had sent an angel to her, the visiting teacher had helped her move down the road to success in the Lord's eyes. That visitor may only verify success from her faithful effort in the world to come. That is true for two visiting teachers who again and again brought love to another widow living nearby in a nursing home for nearly 9 years. After hard trials, she passed away just weeks ago. From what I learned from a son of the widow, I am confident that those teachers succeeded. They will have the happy experience the Prophet Joseph Smith's mother described to the sisters in a meeting of the society, which she attended. She said, "We must cherish and watch one another, watch over one another, comfort one another, and gain instruction that we may all sit down in heaven together. You pass the heritage along as you help others receive the gift of charity in their hearts. They will then be able to pass it to others." The history of a relief society is recorded in words and numbers, but the heritage is passed heart to heart. That is why families are such beneficiaries of relief society. My mother left me a little pin with the words, "Charity never faileth," on it. Sister Beck gave me this small one for my lapel. I'd pin it on, but I know that Joseph Smith was concerned that the society was growing too large at the beginning and wanted a more careful attention to who was worthy, so I don't think I'll pin it on just now. I'm not sure I've passed the test yet to join with you in a society that the Prophet Joseph saw would become a society of converted, deeply converted women. The enduring legacy my mother left her family was more than the pin. It was her love and the Lord's love, which I saw and felt in the simple things she did, giving compassion for him. She was a Relief Society woman. She had no daughters, but my wife has passed the heritage to our two daughters, and they will keep it alive in the hearts of others. It will endure because charity never faileth. I testify that charity is the pure life of Christ. He lives. As we serve others with him, we feel his joy. By his atonement, he made it possible for us to plead for and receive the gift of charity. I know that the Father lives and answers our prayers. You are members of a society founded and set on its course by the prophet of the Restoration, Joseph Smith. Sister Beck and her counselors were called through inspiration from God, which was given to a living prophet. I know that is true. You have a glorious heritage. I pray to God that he will inspire you to preserve it and pass it on as a legacy to bless and bring joy to those in the generations and the seasons to come. In the sacred name of Jesus Christ, whom we serve. Amen.
Our Father in heaven, our hearts are filled with gratitude and love as we conclude this General Relief Society meeting. We are so grateful for the restoration of the gospel upon the earth at this time, for the fullness of the gospel, and for the blessing that we have to be full participants in this gospel. We're thankful for the restoration of the priesthood and grateful to be guided and directed by a prophet. We are so grateful for President Monson. We love him and we sustain him. We are grateful for his counselors, President Uchtdorf and President Eyring. We're grateful to all of our priesthood leaders, the Quorum of the 12 and the 70, and all others who work with us and support us and sustain us in this important work of Relief Society. We are grateful for the opportunity that we have to partner with them in this great work and to serve thee in accomplishing thy work here upon this earth. Will thou enlarge our hearts with charity? Will thou bless us that we will seek the understanding and the guidance and the knowledge that we need from thee, that we may truly take our part in this important work upon the earth at this time? We thank thee, Father, for the legacy of those who have gone before us. We are grateful for their strength. We are grateful for their testimonies. And we're thankful for the privilege that we have now to take our place and to build upon the foundation that has been laid before us. We're grateful, Heavenly Father, for all thy many blessings to us, most especially for a Savior. We love him. We are grateful to him for his sacrifice on behalf of each one of us. We're grateful for the opportunity that we have to be better and to do better because of him and his great sacrifice. We thank thee, Father, for this beautiful choir that has brought such a wonderful spirit here this night. We're grateful for their dedication and for their service on our behalf, for the sharing of their time and talents. We're thankful for our General Relief Society presidency, Sister Beck, Sister Allred, and Sister Thompson. We love them, we support them, and we sustain them as we listen to their counsel and their guidance, and as we are obedient. Bless us that our minds will be opened, that we'll have the understanding that we need to be obedient to their counsel, that we will be counseling with our priesthood leaders and trying to have an understanding of the needs of our sisters throughout the world, that we may be able to increase our understanding and help this work of Relief Society to move forward. Bless us with joy in our countenances that we can be an example for good throughout the world. We love thee, Father. We're grateful for the opportunity to be here. And we close this meeting in the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.